Hi, everyone, and welcome to True Time. This week's case is about how an iPhone solved what appeared to be an unsolvable case. This is the case of Shanisha Forbes. Hello, everybody.
Hello, everyone.
My name is Avery.
And my name is Dylan.
And welcome to True Time.
Welcome all.
We hope you are having a wonderful week.
So far.
We always have this same intro every time, but it's like a tradition at this point. I don't really want to break it.
Yeah. I don't know what else to say anyway, so.
Yeah. You know what you're getting. But in all seriousness, we do hope you are having a wonderful start to your, it's the second to last week of March. Just kidding.
Yeah, we still have next week.
You guys might be getting ready for spring break.
Ooh.
Maybe you're going on spring break or your kids are about to have spring break.
Whatever it is, have fun.
Yes. Get outside. Maybe go somewhere new if you can. Go somewhere you like to go.
I feel like when you're a grown up, there's not many opportunities to just chill.
Take off a week of work.
Yeah. So if you can, if it's possible, or if you even want to, some people don't even care.
Yeah.
So.
Well, even if you just want to curl up at home with a good book or TV show.
Yeah. Eat a couple tubs of ice cream.
Couple tubs.
And watch your favorite show, movie, podcast, us.
Yeah. I think it's important to take time to have a break at this time of year because the last big break was Christmas and that was already 3 months ago at this point.
Yeah, it was a while.
So it's important to take a spring break, no matter if it's just a weekend or an afternoon or if you're lucky, a whole week.
Do what you want to do. Push off all those, things that you're supposed to do and just do what you want to do.
Just take time for yourself. But yeah, we don't really have too many exciting life updates. We went on some more dates.
Yeah.
Dylan and I like to date each other. That's what they say to do in a relationship. Keep dating each other.
Never heard that, but
really?
Somewhat makes sense.
Yeah. Well, we went to a farmer's market.
We did.
Got some delicious fruit.
Yeah, that fruit was tasty.
So good.
We got a fresh pomegranate.
Mm-hmm.
Don't really eat too many of those. And then got some fresh grapes.
Yeah, and they were not like regular red grapes. They were super dark, like super dark purple.
It was pretty much close to a black.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they were so sweet.
Very, very tasty.
10 out of 10. Super happy about that decision.
Got some oranges. Haven't tried those yet.
Yeah, like clementines. Yeah. And you got kiwis. But
fun
fact, to my knowledge, I'm still allergic to kiwi. So maybe I'll try and see if I'm not anymore. But yeah. Also, again, side note, if you hear a noise in the background, it's our cat Kaiser.
Yeah. He likes to be
in the
very
room
annoying.
And annoying, yeah.
Whenever we're trying to be as quiet as possible.
Yeah, we lock him out sometimes because he does make a lot of noise, but then he just sits by the door when we open it, and I feel so bad. But right now he's playing with paintbrushes, and kicking him out might not be a bad idea.
Yeah.
Brief intermission. Okay, we're back.
We are back.
It was literally no time at all for you, but Kai's chilling outside.
Yeah, that was our weekend update.
Yeah, we also went to brunch on Sunday.
We did.
10 probably, out of 10, recommend going to brunch.
It was definitely my top four brunches of all time.
Yeah, so. A unique number.
Well, I mean, I guess.
All righty, but with that, I say we should just get right into this week's case.
Sounds good.
Okay. So our case this week begins in January of 2013 in Brooklyn, New York. Shanisha Forbes was a 14-year-old girl, and she was described as a cheerful, loving, and caring person. She loved to dance, and her family said she was really good at it. Shanisha lived with her mom, Sandra Price, and they were extremely close. Shanisha loved her mom dearly. She also had three sisters, so their home was always filled with a lot of laughter and fun.
Is she the oldest?
No, I think she's the youngest from my research, from what I could find.
Yeah, okay.
I don't know that for sure, but I mostly only found reports of her older sisters talking, so.
Okay.
For Christmas of 2012, Shanisha was gifted what she considered to be the best present ever, which was an iPhone.
Yeah.
She was so excited and danced around the room smiling because of how happy she was. Her mom had given the iPhone to Shanisha also to be used as a tracking device to keep an eye on her. Shanisha was a freshman and she attended the Academy for Young Writers. She was very artistic.
Sounds cool.
Yeah, I know. Living and attending school in the city meant that Shanisha used public transportation, like the buses, to get around. So the morning of January 4th, Shanisha's mom sent her a text asking her if she was on the bus, and she replied, quote, "Yes, I'm on the bus." Sadly, that would be the last text Shanisha would ever send her mom. Later in the evening, Sandra was extremely worried because Shanisha had not come home from school yet. Sandra and Shanisha's sisters all tried calling and texting her multiple times to figure out where she was and what was going on, but they all got no response. This was completely unsettling because after Christmas Day, Shanisha had her phone with her at all times, so this could only mean that something was seriously wrong. Sandra decided to reach out to Shanisha's school to see if by some off chance she was still there, but what they told her was shocking. They explained to Sandra that Shanisha had been marked as absent because she did not show up for classes that day. By 7 p.m. that night, Sandra called Shanisha's uncle for advice, and he told her to call 911 to report her as missing because of how serious things were getting. Shanisha was not the type of student who would cut classes without her mom knowing. When Sandra called the police, she explained to them that her 14-year-old daughter was missing and had not gone to school or come home, but they told her that there was nothing they could do until she had been missing for 24 hours.
That blows my mind.
Especially for a minor.
Yeah.
Law enforcement explained, though, that a missing teenager case can typically be resolved within a day or two just by visiting some of the homes where their friends lived because they decided to stay there instead of going home. However, Shanisha's family described her as being extremely trustworthy, and she would never just disappear to a friend's house without telling someone.
Surprising for the youngest child.
I know. That night, all they could do was drive around trying to search for her. Their search continued into the morning and the entire next day until finally 24 hours had passed and the police were able to get involved. Thank you to BetterHelp for sponsoring this episode. It's officially a new year, which can be exciting to think of all the possibilities and opportunities that lie ahead of us in 2023, but personally, it can also be extremely overwhelming. New beginnings can come with a lot of unknowns and uncertainties, and dealing with these stressors can cause us to struggle with sleeping, making life decisions, and finding what truly makes us happy. A few months ago, I personally had to make some really difficult decisions to prioritize my mental health, but by doing that, I was able to overcome the challenges I faced and ultimately learned how important it is to check in with myself and how I'm feeling. Fresh starts can be hard or even scary, but an amazing solution to work through anything you may be facing is to start talking to a therapist. Now is the perfect time to put your mental health first and check out BetterHelp.
BetterHelp is the world's largest therapy service with over 25,000 licensed and experienced therapists and is 100% online, which is amazing because this truly makes it accessible to everyone. To get started, you simply just answer a couple of questions about what your specific needs are and what you are looking for in a therapist. This information allows BetterHelp to match you to a therapist who is experienced in helping to meet your needs and trained to listen. Then you can get in contact with your therapist in a way that is convenient and comfortable for you. You can text or chat at any time, as well as schedule phone or video calls. If at any time you decide you'd like a new therapist, BetterHelp can help you to make a switch at no additional charge.
BetterHelp is an amazing resource that offers professionalism and quality you would expect from in-office therapy, all from the comfort of your own space. It can be difficult to search and find the help you are looking for in your area, but BetterHelp ultimately allows you to connect with a therapist who is custom-picked for you, with more scheduling flexibility at a more affordable price. Get 10% off your first month at betterhelp.com/truetime. That's betterhelp.com/truetime. Check out our link in the description to take charge of your mental health today. Thank you again to BetterHelp for sponsoring today's episode. Detective Callow was one of the detectives assigned to Shanisha's case, and he immediately went to the family to collect important information like Shanisha's cell phone number so that they could submit a subpoena to the phone provider to try and see who she had been in contact with the day she went missing. But these types of records take time to come in. So in the meantime, all the police could really do is interview Shanisha's friends and keep an eye out in the area. Shanisha's sisters and the police decided to search her social media to see if there was anything on there that might help them find her. Since it was 2013, the most popular social media platform at the time was Facebook. I'm sure everyone knows how Facebook works, but Dylan and I were also 14 in 2013, and I remember using Facebook to constantly make short posts about what I was doing or who I was hanging out with. Like, small updates, 24/7.
Yeah, not me.
Yeah, but you were the type of person to add a million people.
Yeah. My friend and I had a competition of who could have the most friends, so we just added as many people as possible. To this day, I don't know 99% of people on my Facebook.
Which is very unsettling. So, when they looked on her Facebook page, they discovered the morning of January 4th, she had made a post that said, quote, "Heading to the movies, ... with him." This was huge because they at least knew that instead of going to school, she had plans to go to a movie theater. The next obstacle was figuring out who him was, because Shanisha had over 1,200 friends on Facebook.
Oh my gosh.
And no one knew if the guy she was talking about was even one of them.
That's crazy.
Yeah, that's a lot of friends. Shanisha's mom and sisters had no idea if she had a boyfriend or had even been talking to a boy, so there wasn't someone they could tell the police to go interview for information. All they really knew was that at least Shanisha had willingly chosen to not go to school at this point. However, 2 days after Shanisha had gone missing, on January 6th, the unthinkable happened. A body was discovered by someone on Garretson Beach. When the police arrived, they found the body of a young African-American female covered by garbage bags. She was partially naked and had burn marks on her face as well as other parts of her body. What the investigators could not see were any bullet wounds, stab wounds, or defensive wounds.
Just burns?
Mm-hmm.
That's so sad.
So they couldn't immediately determine the cause of death. Mm-hmm. But they did wonder if maybe it was some type of accident. While searching the scene, they could see that around the area, there had been what looked like some type of beach bonfire with beer cans scattered around. They wondered if some teenagers had been out there drinking and that the victim accidentally fell into the bonfire. They worried that if there were teenagers involved, they must have just not notified the police right away out of fear of getting in trouble.
Yeah.
At the scene, they also discovered a pair of UGG boots they assumed belonged to the victim. There were numerous missing person cases in New York City at the time whose descriptions matched those of the victim they had found.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
It's such a big city, I guess.
Yeah. I mean, that's true, but that just blows my mind that there's that many people missing.
It's so sad.
It even matches that mm-hmm. many people's descriptions.
Yeah. They went to a couple different people's homes to figure out who she was.
Gosh.
But on Monday, January 7th, the police went to Shanisha's home with photos of the victim to see if her mother and sisters were able to identify if the victim they had found was her. When they looked at the photos, the family was devastated and in shock. They were able to identify the girl in the photos was Shanisha. On top of that, they were further able to make the connection because the UGG boots found at the scene actually belonged to Shanisha's mom, Sandra. According to Carrie Ann, one of Shanisha's cousins, she had loved to borrow and wear her mom's shoes since she was little, and, quote, she did that her last day on this earth, end quote. All Sandra and her daughters could think about was who would do something like this to a sweet 14-year-old girl. Now that Shanisha was identified, an autopsy was performed to try and determine the cause of death. But due to the circumstances in which Shanisha's body was found, investigators had reason to believe her death was an accident. However, the possibility of Shanisha's death being an accident was actually pretty quickly ruled out. First, there was no water found in her lungs that would have meant she drowned at the beach. They also discovered the burn marks found on her body were post-mortem, which meant she had not been in a fire before what she died. Heck? While the cause of death was not officially labeled as a homicide on the autopsy, the police started to believe that it was. While the police were searching through Shanisha's Facebook friends to find out who she had been with last, her family decided to go to the movie theater she would always go to. The movie theater was actually really close to Shanisha's school, so they knew she would have gone there. When they asked the workers if they could look at their camera footage for January 4th to see if Shanisha had been there and who she was with, they informed them that they delete the footage every 7 days, and that if they had come the day before, they would have been able to see the footage from that day.
Oh my gosh.
The family did not lose hope, though, and they worked with the community to hand out thousands of flyers, hold candlelight vigils, and put posters anywhere they could. With the community's efforts, they gained a lot of media attention, trying to spread awareness and learn any information that would help them discover what happened to Shanisha. During the investigation, detectives discovered that Shanisha had actually been a victim of online bullying. It's just so heartbreaking to me how people find it so easy to bully and harass people behind a screen. Her classmates would make fun of her hair and clothes, and it had actually gone so far as in-person bullying when someone pulled Shanisha's hair and cussed her out at school.
Oh my gosh.
Shanisha's mom, Sandra, did know about the bullying, and they had even made an arrangement with the school for Shanisha to be picked up a few minutes before dismissal to avoid being jumped or threatened.
Oh my gosh.
That's just so unacceptable.
Kids are so messed up.
They're so mean. And there's just no real explanation for it. With all of this information, the police started to question if this bullying had gotten so extreme that it might have led to her murder. When they interviewed the teenagers who had been bullying Shanisha online, they just said that they were being teens and that nothing was meant to be serious. Just excuses. The police found a friend of Shanisha's named Jonathan Ho, and they decided to interview him to see what he knew about the bullying. He told the police that she would confide in him about the awful things people would say to her and how they would threaten to beat her up for no reason. However, towards the end of their interview with Jonathan, he told them some pretty shocking information. He explained that a few days before Shanisha had been murdered, they hung out, and during that time, she told him she thought she was pregnant. She explained to him that she was a little scared, but she planned to keep the baby. This was some major information and possible evidence that would take this case in an entirely new direction. When the police checked with the medical examiner, they learned that Shanisha was not pregnant, but they knew they had to figure out who she believed was the father.
Mm-hmm.
The police finally received Shanisha's phone records about a week after they requested them, and they were able to learn that a few days before she went missing, she had actually called a pregnancy clinic, which confirmed that she did believe she might have been pregnant.
At 14, that's so scary.
It's heartbreaking. They also found a number Shanisha called the morning she disappeared and traced it to a teenage boy. When they interviewed him, they learned that he had stayed home from school on January 4th because he had plans to go on a date with Shanisha. However, when he called her that morning to confirm their plans, he said she canceled on him while giggling and it sounded like someone was in the background with her. He hung up on her, deleted her number, and unfriended her on Facebook because he was embarrassed and upset.
Sounds like the, you know, junior high reaction.
Yeah, typical response. He told the police, though, that they were not planning on going to the movies, so that still meant the him from her Facebook post was someone else. The phone records were able to confirm that the morning of January 4th, Shanisha had gotten on a bus, but it was headed towards Flatbush in Brooklyn, which was in the opposite direction of her school. They also learned that by 11 a.m. that morning, Shanisha made no more outgoing calls or texts, so they believe she had been murdered shortly before that time. With no more leads and still an unknown cause of death, the police were faced with the difficulties of figuring out where to go next. Shanisha's family also really struggled with time just passing them by. None of them knew much information since the police had to keep a lot of their knowledge confidential to not risk the integrity of this case. However, Carrie Ann described how difficult it was to trust law enforcement due to circumstances in the past that have shown a lack of support towards the African American community. Everyone just had to wait.
It's surprising to me that she has this like big of a secret when it seems like she was a pretty open person.
Yeah, I just think for the times, social media, phones, talking to strangers, it was just rising and so new, but it is definitely strange. I know her family was really shocked.
Mm-hmm.
Finally, 4 months later on May 2nd, the medical examiners officially ruled Shanisha's death a homicide, and her cause of death was due to homicidal asphyxia, which is when someone smothers or strangles another person. A death caused by smothering or strangling is extremely painful and requires a lot of strength and rage to be able to hold something over someone's face until they die, according to Detective Normile.
That sounds
brutal.
Horrible.
Yeah. Only 10 days later, the detectives on this case called Shanisha's family and told them they needed to meet at their home. Once they were all together, they explained to the family that they had finally found Shanisha's murderer.
Like confirmed?
Yeah. 10 days after this, so May 12th.
Wow.
They explained that from December 26th through the morning of January 4th, Shanisha had texted a Metro PCS phone number over 100 times and called multiple times. This was the last phone number she had been in contact with up until her phone went silent. They were able to subpoena this number, which allowed them to discover that this phone had been paid for by a credit card that belonged to the sister of a 20-year-old named Christian Ferdinand. With the credit card information, they were able to find this sister and ask her some questions about Christian. She told the police that she paid for his phone bill because he was a student at a school that offered a work program in Maine. However, he had grown up in the Flatbush area and even went to the same high school as one of Shanisha's older sisters. When the police reached out to the school in Maine that Christian attended, they learned that he had been out for Christmas break from December 21st through January 8th, which meant he was in Brooklyn at the time of Shanisha's murder. While the police knew that Shanisha's phone tracked her being in Flatbush, they were able to subpoena the cell phone companies to give exact cell sites, which would show their phone's locations. With this, the police were able to see that the neighborhood Shanisha's phone last pinged off of from the cell phone tower was the same neighborhood where Christian was staying at with his cousin. Furthermore, his cell phone had also pinged at the same tower at the same time frames Shanisha was over there. With all of this information, the detectives on Shanisha's case drove up to interview Christian on May 13th. They described him as being pretty laid back and not nervous to talk to them at all.
A psychopath.
Seriously. They went on to explain that they were investigating a missing person case and that the person was Shanisha Forbes. Christian told police he had no idea who they were talking about, so they showed him a memorial card from her funeral that had a picture of her on it. He told police he recognized the girl, but had only met her once or twice at a park in Brooklyn. But obviously, the phone records the police had said otherwise.
Mm-hmm.
According to Detective Normile, once they presented the phone records and what they knew about how often he had communicated with Shanisha, he took a moment, then said that they had been good to him, and since they bought him a soda before the interview turned interrogation began, he agreed to tell them everything about what happened to Shanisha Forbes.
What is this guy?
He is a monster. Christian told police that he had met Shanisha on Facebook and that she had told him she was 16 years old. However, according to her cousin, her Facebook profile had her actual birthday displayed. So if he actually believed she was 16 is up to discretion.
Even if she was 16, you're still 20 years old.
Yeah.
That's too young.
Mm-hmm. And I think he knew she was 14.
Well, of course he knew. But I'm saying even if you're that dumb.
16 doesn't make it any better.
Yeah.
When they would meet up in person, they had a sexual relationship. On the morning of January 4th, Shanisha skipped school to go over to Christian's cousin's home to see him. When she got there, she told Christian that she was pregnant and that she was going to be keeping the baby. She had hoped they would stay together and take their relationship to the next level. However, Christian's response was to, quote, get rid of that shit. When Shanisha told him no, they began to fight until he picked up a couch cushion and smothered her face with it until she was no longer moving. He then proceeded to place her body inside of a suitcase and said he had a cab drive him to Garretson Beach, which was about 2-2.5 miles away from the apartment he was staying in. When he got to the beach, he dragged her body out to the shore and used an aerosol can of some type of body spray, I think it was Axe, and a lighter to make a torch to burn her body in an attempt to get rid of any of his DNA on her.
Oh my God.
He then pushed her body into the water, hoping it would drift her away, but the tide had brought her back in. Such a disgusting, awful act, all because he didn't want a child, is truly sickening. And Shanisha's family was absolutely devastated when they learned all of these details in his confession. Christian was then arrested and charged with the murder of Shanisha Forbes. While awaiting his trial at Rikers Island Jail in New York, another major piece of this case came to light, a piece that Christian had left out of his initial confession. The police learned from Christian's cellmate that he did not try to get rid of Shanisha's body by himself. Christian's friend, 23-year-old Lewis Mannon, had actually helped by providing a van to drive the suitcase that contained Shanisha down to Garretson's Beach.
I was going to say, he was with his cousin.
Yeah, but it wasn't his cousin.
Okay, so it was someone else.
Yeah, it was a friend of his, yeah.
What friend is just like...
It's awful. Of course, when they brought Lewis in, he immediately denied having anything to do with helping Christian, but once the police told them they had found his fingerprints on the garbage bags that Shanisha's body was in, he admitted to his part.
Did they actually, or were they just trying to get him to confess?
I think they actually did. I mean, you have to have probable cause to arrest someone, and a detective had said that is what they found.
Okay.
After transporting Shanisha's body, he helped Christian try to burn her and then put her into the water. After talking with the police, he accepted a plea deal in exchange for his testimony during Christian's trial. He was only given a sentence of 3 months.
Oh my.
Which is just absolutely horrific, in my opinion. There are no words for something like that.
If you're willing to help someone
I mean,
do something like that.
Transport a body, burn it, and push it into water. You know what your friend did to this 14-year-old girl?
I feel like they have enough evidence that they wouldn't even need his, like,
testimony.
Yeah, like, why not just put them both, like, in prison for a long time?
I don't know.
I feel like that was dumb. I don't know how this works. So,
I mean, I guess.
You know, I put my hands up and I say, if I'm wrong, I'm wrong. But that sounds dumb.
Yeah.
That sounds dumb to me.
Guess by giving that type of confession. But it's not like he even openly went in there confessing and took a plea deal. He had to be brought in because Christian's cellmate. Yeah. But that's what I'm saying. Why would you get such a good plea deal of 3 months for your testimony when you would have never said anything to begin with?
I mean, no one would. But.
Well, some people who have been involved in certain situations do eventually come clean and come forward.
I guess.
But you shouldn't be given 3 months for just trying to sneak by and hide in the background.
Yeah.
The trial for Christian officially began in November of 2014, and he pled not guilty, despite the confession he had given the police. It only took 1 hour for the jury to deliberate and find him guilty of second-degree murder and tampering with evidence. He was sentenced to 29 years to life in prison, and he will become eligible for parole in 2039. Mm. This was a long, grueling case for Shanisha's family and the detectives in charge of her case. But ultimately, it was her iPhone that allowed for her murder to be solved, which in a world filled with technology is just still shocking to me. How such a small device can contain so much information. With a case like this, it is important to remember Shanisha as a fun, bright girl, but it's also important to remember that she was only a 14-year-old girl, which is a child. It's disgusting and heartbreaking to realize Shanisha is not the only child who was a victim of online sexual predators who are older and know what they are doing is sick and wrong. This case was 10 years ago, and social media has only grown vastly since. And it is so easy now for online predators to pretend to be anyone and take advantage of children and teenagers especially. According to Safes, which is described as the most reliable parental control app, every day there are 500,000 predators online, and 1 in 5 children have said they have been contacted by a predator within the last year. Children between the ages of 12 to 15 are the most susceptible and the main target. This proves that online safety is just as important as in-person safety. And if you are a parent, teacher, or a kid online, it's important to learn about online safety tips because you never know who the person on the other side of the screen is and what they may be capable of.
Yeah. I mean, I'd say it's important for parents to understand the technology and for the kids as well. And the only way that they'll really learn how to be safe online is for the parents to know. So
yeah. And, it, you know, you think, yeah, don't talk to someone you don't know. Don't give personal information. But for a lot of people, and especially children, it's very easy to do.
Well, because people create fake accounts where they look like someone their age.
Yeah. It's very misleading, and it's very easy to trust someone when they're nice to you or they compliment you and make you feel good.
Mm-hmm.
But I would just say 9 times out of 10, believe it's the absolute worst possible scenario and don't trust anybody unless you know who you really are talking to, like a family member or a friend.
Did you have anything else for the case?
That's it for this case.
All right. You ready to move on to the question of the day?
Yes.
All righty. So the question of the day is, would you rather spend a week in a forest or a night in a real haunted house?
That's a very easy answer for me. I would much rather spend a week in a forest. I'm the biggest scaredy cat. I do not want to be messed with by ghosts or creepy things.
So you'd be living in a tent?
Oh, yeah.
Make it for yourself.
Glamping, you know?
Glamping. You get a tent.
Okay, well, I can make it a nice tent. I just hang out. I go on hikes.
Yeah.
I'll have a great time that isn't scary. What would you do?
I might do the house.
No.
Because I love camping. So, like, I would just do that for fun. But I'm saying I want to be, you know, I want to see something haunted happen.
No. Well, you know it's an actual haunted house, so why do you need more?
I'm saying I don't think it's actually haunted.
Wrong answer. No, thanks. I don't need to see anything. If it's real, you can be real. I don't want to know about it.
I want to prove it to me.
I don't need that proof. Too spooky.
Yeah, I mean, I would just go camping anytime.
Yeah, so pick camping and avoid being possibly possessed, you know? Sounds like a win-win to me.
No, I want to see something haunted happen.
Not me. We reject everything. We don't open ourselves to anything. Dylan always tries to say he's open. I'm like, no, close it. Every horror movie ghost person expert says, do not open yourself because you don't know what you're opening yourself to. Serious. Everything scares the crap out of me. Especially Dylan.
I would do the haunted house. That's what I would do.
Dylan did actually try to scare the crap out of me the other night.
When?
When I went to the bathroom before we were going to sleep and our room was pitch black. And he literally somehow managed to, in the time I went to go pee, stuff our bed with pillows and blankets so I would think his body was there. And then jumped up and screamed at me.
Well, yeah. I mean, we just turned off the lights. And then 10 seconds later, she went to the bathroom. I stuffed the bed to make it look like I was laying there with pillows. And I laid on the floor. And right when she laid into the bed to, like, go touch the pillows is when I jumped up.
Yeah. I had thought, I was like, why are you rustling around so much? And then I told Dylan when I first walked into the room, like, his side of the bed is immediately to the left. I felt, like, something there. But, you know, I was just like, oh, it's dark, spooky. I'm scaring myself. Like, keep going. And then as soon as I touched, we have, like, a yarn pillow. I felt the texture. I was like, what the hell? And then he screamed at me.
Yeah.
And I screamed.
Not screamed at you.
Yelled at me. Whatever. It was scary. So, camping for the win. We're going camping.
Yeah. Makes me want to go camping.
Yeah. But let us know what you would do. Are you a paranormal lover out there?
Yeah. Some people like, I mean, some people believe in it and would like to go to a haunted house.
Yeah.
Some people believe in it and would hate to go to a haunted house.
I'm kind of there.
And some people just don't even know what to believe and just don't like scary things.
I'm also kind of there. I don't know, but I don't really want to know. And I will get scared even if it's not haunted, if it's just a spooky house. So that's it for me.
Yeah, that's also true. If it's just an old house and there's like random noises, then you just start, you know, getting in your head.
Yeah.
Thinking of the worst possible situations.
Mm-hmm. Even if it's like a house where something in real life bad, like something in real life bad actually happened, mm-hmm. still, no thanks.
Yeah. Like we said, let us know.
Let us know.
If you guys would like to check out True Time's social media pages, we'll have the pictures from the cases and case sources linked there. You can check that out at True Time Podcast on Instagram, Facebook, and TikTok. And if you want to follow our personal life, you can follow Avery on Instagram and TikTok at Avery E. Hamill.
And please make sure, if you're feeling generous, to give us a review, maybe a 5-star rating if you feel like it. I don't know.
Yeah.
But any ratings or reviews really help out our podcast. We love reading them. It makes us feel really good to see your positive feedback. And it's also just really exciting to see how many of you guys take the time to help us out that way. So if you're feeling generous, we would love if you could leave a rating and a review.
Yep. Reviews always help. And then sharing with family, friends.
Yep.
Everyone.
Keep spreading the word.
We really appreciate you guys.
Yes. You guys are the absolute best. I appreciate you all so much. Love you guys. Love the True Time fam.
Hope you have a great week.
And we will be back next Monday with a new case.
Goodbye, everyone.
Bye, guys.